I think the first thing that I remember
Okay, let's see if it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But I want to hear your side of the story.
Who's going first?
Me. Okay, I'll go first. So I remember I wanted to sort of like, you know, impress Aina. And I was young, right? Like this is like 13 years ago almost. Yeah, basically 13 years ago.
Maybe
more.
Yeah.
And I remember it was Aina's birthday, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I bought... I was like, Ryder, we have to get these like fairy lights. I think. And then we went to Aina's apartment and you were living with like housemates at the time too.
I was.
We knocked on your door and you were so like, we were like, here, this is your present. But you know the reaction? It was like, oh my God, this is really nice, but I'm kind of confused. Welcome to the Asian Soup Podcast. This is your co-host Jules.
And this is your co-host Rux.
The Asian Soup Podcast is your cozy space on the internet where we share and discover stories about one another.
We chat about a range of topics from health, personal growth, careers, and much more.
Come sit with us
and get nourished. So today we have a special guest here. So Julia, do you want to intro actually?
Yeah. So we have a special guest, Aina. I'll let Aina introduce herself in a second, but Aina is, I don't know how much we want to disclose, but Aina is my friend.
Yes.
And
I think we can disclose.
Yeah. No, you go. You introduce yourself.
Oh, you want me to disclose?
Yeah, you do it.
Okay. All right. Hi, I'm Aina. I am Ryudo's sister. So Julia's partner. Sister.
Yeah. So I refer to you as my sister-in-law.
I do too.
Yeah. Yes. So it's just easier.
Yeah. Do you say it in Korean or do you say it in English? Like, it both. You're just like, oh yeah, she's my sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Because Aina's more Japanese, so I wouldn't even... Mm. I don't even know what it is in Korean.
I had never even thought about that. That had never crossed my
what
mind.
What is it in Japanese? Like, if you're my sister-in-law, what would I call you?
So, I'd be your older sister. So, you'd call me Giri no One-san.
Oh my God, I'm so calling you that now. Giri no One-san.
That sounds respectful.
Yeah, that's very long. Yeah, very
because it's
polite.
Got sun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow, that's weird. Giri no One-san.
Yes.
And what would you call Jules?
I, Giri no Imoto.
Oh my God, little sister.
Imoto.
What's
Giri
mean?
Giri means... testing my Japanese here. It's the phrase that you use before your relationship when it's with like your partners, like or your husband
an in-law
or
kind
yeah
of
your
thing.
Wives. Mm. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like an in-law.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, I think I interrupted your introduction. Do you want to add anything else to your intro?
I'm a mom of a 2 and almost half-year-old girl. I think you've spoken about her a couple of times. I'm a working mom as well, so full time.
And still taking time to record with us on a Friday night, so thank you. She's asleep, I heard.
Yes, she is. She is. I might have to check on the monitor.
Yeah. Well, let's hope Ryder's got it all under control.
Yeah. He would.
Yeah. I'll give a little... My week this week has been hectic, guys. Like, I've been... I went to Melbourne last week as well, and okay, I'm just blabbering now, but like I got really into yoga and I was doing yoga this week, and this week I actually started my new job. So,
congrats.
It's nice. Like, I mean, the funny thing, right, is like even though I started a new job and I hit my goal and whatever, like that was my end goal, right, to get a new job during this redundancy period. Mm. But I actually didn't feel like I was happy and everything, but I didn't really feel, I don't know how to explain it, but I didn't feel like this huge sense of accomplishment or anything like that, because I think during the whole process, I was always kind of like, it doesn't really matter like what I achieve or what job I get or how quickly I get the job. It was more about, I've said this a million times to Rox, but like the little small efforts that I put in to myself to get to that goal.
Yeah.
That was like what I was really focusing on. So like, such as like, I don't know, you know, applying for that job even after like 3 rejections, or getting out of bed and going to the gym even though it's really cold and I got rejected yesterday, or, you know, just like those little wins. I just kept focusing on that. And then it made me realize like, oh my God, I'm actually so strong with those cold showers as well. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm somebody who can do so much. And then I was already sort of in this mindset, and then the job came. So I think I was like, I don't know, this is like a long answer that no one asked for, but that's sort of my update. Like, yeah, I got the job, but it's not the answer to everything, I realized. Like
It wasn't the end goal.
It wasn't the end goal.
In a good way.
Yeah, like I focus more on the progress rather than the end goal. But yeah, it is nice to start a new role. Cool. And it's been busy, but yeah, it's been good. Nice. That's my little update.
You were very calm and collected the whole period. I think I spent a lot of time at your place working.
Yeah. I think I really try to focus on the next step I have to take. What's the next thing I need to do? Rather than, you know, it's so easy to like look at the end goal and think, oh, everyone else has gotten a job. What about me? Why am I taking so long? Am I less employable? Am I in the wrong like field or wrong role? But then I sort of looked back at that at all and I was thinking, that's so silly. Like, why am I comparing myself to other people who is on a completely different path to me? So I think I really like learned so much about myself during this whole period. And I've actually really enjoyed it because I feel like I'm a lot closer to myself. I know it's weird, but I feel like I have my back in a weird way. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So that's my little update. So it's a very long answer, but I think I just wanted to get that off my, like, out of my heart. Cause I think it's important for people to, like, I want other people to sort of, if you're going through something like that as well, where the goal seems a bit far away, like, yeah, just focus on the little small efforts and the small achievements. They're the ones that really, really matter, you know? But yeah, today's episode, guys, is about first impressions. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And maybe we can start with, I mean, there's a lot of first impressions, right? Like, I want to ask you guys, like I9 Rocks, do first impressions matter? Do they matter?
I don't know whether I'd say they matter, but I can't unnotice something. I'm quite instinctual. So I think for me, in like terms of processing, it does like matter. Whether I think that's not necessarily a good thing, because I feel like those sorts of instincts get in the way of me actually like getting to know someone or getting to know something. But yeah, it's just this kind of initial reaction. So.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you reckon, Rox?
I feel like even if I said it doesn't matter, it still does. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a first impression. Like, it's going to last, I guess, because it's when you first, something first comes in front of you and you have to, like, you have to judge it. Not judge it, but assess what is going on, right? Like,
yeah.
And what that is in reference to me, because I'm only me, you know, because so I can only interpret whatever that is for myself. Do you know what I mean? I can't, unless it's like a celebrity and there's like all this information about them. I don't know. I don't know. I think it still matters.
It matters. I think if you can make a really good first impression, that's quite a good thing. You're like, I feel like you're setting yourself on a strong foot, you know. Yes, I think like it does matter in that sense. And also if it's a very bad impression, I don't know, bad first impression bad, because at least you've set an impression. Okay.
When don't you set an impression?
When you were there but you weren't even noticed, so there okay, was no what's worse.
Yeah, well, I think okay, one more thing I wanted to add is like first impressions matter, but it isn't everything. And that person, if we're talking about people, they can surprise you, right? Like if it's a bad first impression, they could surprise you by, you could be like, oh, I was wrong, they're actually so lovely and not a crazy like mean person. I'm an idiot. Then or it could be like, wow, they seem so nice, and then
it
could go the other way.
And you're like, oh, I can't believe I didn't see that.
Yeah. I think that, in Japanese, it's like they call it insho.
Daiji insho.
What does daiji?
Daiji means number one.
First.
Yeah.
That sounds like Chinese. Daiji.
Daiji, yeah.
For Cantonese, it's daiyachi. It's like daiyat is number one. Ti is the, like, that's the occurrence. If you say daiyi ti, it's the second time. Dai sam ti is the third time. Fourth time, yeah.
Daiyachi
is first.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then it's like second impression is dai.
Daiyi ti.
Well, in Korean, it's not insho. It's kind of more similar to Japanese. It's like insang. Like, 첫인상 좋다. 첫인상 안 좋다? I don't know. But 첫인상 is like first impression. And it's like, if someone has a good first impression, it's like, oh, wow. Like, it's something that you'll talk about. Like, at least in the Korean language. Like, oh, their first impression was really, like, good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like noteworthy.
Yeah.
At least in Korean culture, I think.
Thinking about context in which people talk about first impressions.
Okay, so I was specifically thinking.
It has to be some context.
Yeah. Okay, so my example, I was specifically thinking about like what my family said about like my partner, Ryudo, when they first met him. So even like if they haven't
met. Yeah, what did they say?
Well.
And how old were you? Like 15.
Well, like he came to Korea with me like before COVID, like, I don't know, 6 years ago. But even when I went to Korea like this time, like in November last year, they would be like, oh yeah, how's Ryudo? And they'll sort of still mention like, oh yeah, he has a good... Actually, I don't think they said first impression, but they said like he's like very approachable.
Hmm.
But that was from the first impression, right? So yeah, they really liked his aura.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think I ever told you, but they really liked him. They think like, oh, he's a really good guy and stuff like that. But in that instance, first impression is very important because you're seeing family or your partner's family like overseas. And how often do you see family overseas?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like first impression. Yeah. Really matter.
Mm.
Really, really matter. What about you? What are you thinking? You've got something to say. I can see it.
I was just thinking about when you said overseas.
Yeah.
Because my husband is Japanese and all of his family were overseas as well. So I was just thinking, it was just taking me back to the time where I met his family for the first time.
Were you nervous?
And I was a little bit because he's like fully Japanese. So he's like not born here, like didn't come to Australia until he's like mid to late 20s. Mm. So definitely very much like Japanese. And while I think I have a pretty strong like Japanese side, despite growing up in Australia, I was a little bit worried about whether I was going to be able to like do everything right.
Culturally.
Yeah, culturally, like kind of, I have this stereotypical image of like Japanese like wives and like, I don't know, just like doing things around the house and
I don't know, like
really polite.
Exactly.
Like, I'm imagining like this really amazing like housewife.
Yes,
who can like superwoman, who can do everything with a smile on her face.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm not that person. So I was really worried about that. Because I'm like all about the equal, you know, responsibilities in the household. So husband will always, you know, do things around the house too, and that's kind of how we've always been. So I was a bit worried about how that was going to be perceived and whatnot. But in the end, we formed a really good relationship and all was fine. But it was just taking me back to that time.
Yeah. Did you feel lots of pressure?
No pressure from anyone, like nothing that my husband said or anything like that. But it was all just like internal
pressure.
Definitely internal pressure. Probably because you kind of do form that non-realistic view of like how people perceive or how they might think.
And in terms of like impression, like you kind of want to impress them, right? Like you want to impress them and be like, you know, I'm a good person for your son. You know, trust me, I'm fine. Like, exactly. I don't know. Because, I don't know, there can be awkward in-law relationships or situations out there. I did want to ask about your first impression of each other, if you remember or not. Because it's a while ago, probably.
Do you remember, Aina?
Truth be told, I don't.
Yeah. Also, I'm one of those, that other category where, like, there's no impression made. I think that's good. I want to be in that category. I don't want to have
like nothing too good, nothing
if
bad.
If it's too good, then I have this, like, high expectation, you know, I need to hold, right? Yeah. Yeah. Bad impression is also not good because, like, that means I'm just, I don't know, I don't want
in
that.
Your bad books
but no well. Impression, I'm really happy with that. I'm really happy with that.
I don't know that I, like, properly met you for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like because you started dating and then you were in Japan for a while. And I don't think that we really kind of started getting to know each other until you got back.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, a hard sort of we got to know each other sort of meeting, like, day. It was very, like, oh, maybe I saw you at your parent, like, your mum's house and – you know, you were there and you were leaving and I was just coming home, like coming over. It was like those sort of interactions. Yeah. So
you're not like intentionally hanging out.
Yeah, like because, you know, if you know Ryuto, he's not the type that would be like or even put me in that position where it's like you guys meet and, you know, get to know each other and like and my sister really needs to like you. Like there was none of that.
No.
Although like I feel like, you know, I might have even felt, I don't know, I feel like, I don't know, I'm generalizing here, but like, I thought, I really liked that approach, but I feel like other people might be a little bit like, my sister's, I'm really close with my sister, especially if you have like a twin.
And if you hang out a lot or something.
Yeah. It's like you have, you guys, I really want you guys to get along, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't have that, so it's good.
It's That's just good. Happened naturally.
Yeah.
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 But I always tell you, like, you're going to remember when I bring this up, but we can cut this out if you want.
I know what you're going to say.
Oh, really?
But you're going clubbing?
Oh, cool.
Going clubbing.
She's just like say, the this cooler, is a long cooler time ago. Sister,
like, going clubbing.
Huh?
Wouldn't you, like, I would imagine
My
you...
first impression. So I really like clubbing guys because I love dancing.
Okay,
but I always went clubbing around like more Asian areas, but I still remember you were going clubbing like King's Cross, which is more like white people area, right? And I remember Aina wore like, this is so distinct in my mind, but you wore like a tutu skirt, like a black tutu skirt, and I thought, oh wow, like that's really cute, but I just remember that, like, you're wearing the tutu skirt, and that's like my sort of maybe first sort of impression of you. I also remember when I think I wanted to like get into Aina's like good books or something. I remember do you remember when you lived in the apartment?
So that was like what you're about to say is gonna be like what I was going to say in terms of like, I think the first thing that I remember was...
Yeah, let's see if it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But I want to hear your side of the story.
Who's going first?
Me. Okay, I'll go first. So I remember I wanted to sort of like, you know, impress Aina. And I was young, right? Like this is like 13 years ago almost. Uh-huh. Yeah, basically 13
more,
years ago.
Maybe more.
Yeah. And I remember it was Aina's birthday, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I bought, I was like, Ryuto, we have to get these like fairy lights. I think and then we went to Aina's apartment and you were living with like housemates at the time too.
I was.
We knocked on your door and you were so like we were like, here, this is your present. But you know the reaction, it was like, oh my god, this is really nice, but I'm kind of confused. Like that was the face that you had. You're like, you were like, I know you're you can tell Aina's trying to be really polite. And she's like, oh, thank you so much.
So animated.
But like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I can see she's really grateful, but she's confused. Like, why we're here? Maybe it was the timing or like, I don't know, maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you don't get a lot of guests at that time. I don't know what it was, but like, I just thought, okay, that was, it was like a very, okay, it was a whatever reaction. Not whatever, but like, I didn't think much of it, but that's, it's just funny thinking about it now. And that's what I remember.
Was your, did you think she didn't like it or did you think, okay, I screwed up.
I knew, what did you think? I didn't think I screwed up. I thought, you know, I put the ball in her court now. Not in the in your court, but like I've done something.
I did what I had to do.
I did what I could with my budget, with my budget at the time. And I thought, okay, it's done. I wasn't, you know, like beating myself up or anything. But I honestly, I never saw the fairy lights hung up. I never saw them. That's funny.
Okay. Now we need to hear your side. Wait, but did Ryan say that was a good idea? Was he just like, oh, you do you?
I have no idea. Like, he would just, I think he's like, he's a type that would be like, yeah, oh, that's a good, flow. Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. Amazing. Yeah. 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 I trust you. Yeah. Oh, it's funny. Okay.
So funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember that. I think that was probably the kind of first interaction that I remember quite distinctly. And I think I was a bit confused.
Yeah.
I think I was a bit confused because we hadn't really crossed paths much.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like a lot of effort was put in to come, like, and surprise me because it was
It was a surprise. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of, I wasn't expecting you to come with a gift.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just kind of remember thinking, oh, this is the beginning of something kind of thing. Like, you know, I just kind of thought, because our family probably at that point, we weren't massive like gift givers for like birthdays. Like I certainly don't remember receiving anything from Rye.
Yeah, that was sort of the feeling I had. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, oh, this is what it means for him to have a girlfriend. It's like,
I start
getting birthday presents. Yes. And the fairy lights, I have to say. Okay, so.
I think just be honest. Also,
no. Okay, so I'm the type of person, like, I have the full intention of, like, using them because I love things like that. I'm too much of a perfectionist to put something up when it doesn't look perfect. And I think I honestly tried. I remember trying to put up the fairy lights in our room, if you remember our apartment, and it couldn't, like, the cord would be like on this diagonal to get it to the PowerPoint. And then I was just like, I cannot have this.
Yeah.
I cannot have this like this.
Yeah.
And then I had to put it away and I had all the intention of putting it back there one day, but they never made it back.
didn't work with the room, the setup.
Yeah. And I think it was like, was it the Chinese lantern style ones?
It was.
Yes, I remember that.
They're not easy then.
Kind of.
Yeah. They're like a bit bulkier.
Bauble. Yeah. Like, you know, they're not like the small.
Yeah.
They were definitely bauble size.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that was, yeah.
And if one was hanging so funny, it would. Exactly. Oh my gosh, I love that. I asked that. That's so funny.
Okay, well, I want to know, like, you guys, it's like Rox and Aina's first impression of each other. So, a bit of context. Like, Aina listens, I think you listen to most of the podcast episodes.
I think I've listened to all of them.
All of them.
Thank you so much.
It's amazing. And Aina has told me that she feels like she already knows Rox through the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's true. Like, I feel like you're very yourself on camera and in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So, not Rox, but Aina, now you've met Rox in real life, you know, what were your first impressions? Like, knowing, you know, having met her through the podcast already and everything.
Yeah. You know, it's been like a really weird experience, to be honest, because.
You mean today's recording?
Yeah, like meeting you, because I honestly do feel like I know you, but.
Yeah.
I'm a massive like podcast listener. So I listen to lots of other podcasts and there's some other podcasts that I've been listening to for like 10 years plus.
Mm-mm.
And I feel like I know them too. Mm, do you know what I mean?
Totally,
but,
totally.
Yeah, but I've not met them. So it feels kind of like I'm meeting a person that I know who's not like a celebrity because I know them, but I'm seeing you for the first time. Mm. So it's like, it's a bit kind of like mind-blowing-y, but also not so much too. Mm-hmm. So it's been a bit of an odd experience. But I feel like we've just been talking quite casually and it's been pretty natural. So
I feel the same.
Yeah. Even though you haven't been listening to...
I haven't heard your voice before. Yes. And I have like seen maybe some photos or heard a lot about you through Jules. And also I knew that you were listening to us and I knew a bit about like your work a little bit. But yeah, I didn't know too much. And I know Ryudo.
Mm.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you. It was like just meeting an extension of Jules in a way, like her life, like people in her life she's close with. It's like very... comfortable, I feel. And I feel like I've already opened up a lot, so it's been nice. Thanks for coming on.
No, thanks for having me. Is this the first time you have a guest that one of you is meeting for the first time?
We have an episode, maybe two episodes before this one.
Mm-hmm.
Is it two? We interviewed, it was more of an interview style.
Okay.
With my friend Tiny, Jenna, and it was Rox's first time. Yeah. But you guys, even then,
Yeah, no, it's like pretty natural with her as well.
Yeah. I think it was also because she's like a Twitch streamer, so she's...
Oh, yeah.
She was very comfortable like speaking in front of the camera. Mm. I think it's really nice when like you have a friend and then the other two friends have never met like come together and then they're just like so kind and friendly and like warm to each other. And it's almost like, oh yeah, because you know you have that that person in the middle who's like the common denominator. I don't know. I just think that's so special. And it's weird for me as well. It's like two worlds colliding kind of thing. But I also know what you were saying about like it's weird that, you know, you feel like you know Rox through the podcast, but you actually haven't met her physically. Like I actually was messaging one of my friends that I haven't spoken to in a really long time. I was like, hey, when are we going to catch up? And then he was like, oh, yeah, I feel like we've already caught up because I listened to your podcast.
Like, I don't need to see you.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't even know, especially like if the listener isn't like commenting or engaging with Instagram just because that's not their style. Mm. You actually have no idea who's listening as well.
That's true. The other day at work, my colleague, Susan, I was like going over to her desk to like chat about something and we chat like all the time with projects and stuff anyway. But then I went over to her desk and I was chatting to her and that was the day we released an episode. And she was like, oh, it's so weird because I was literally just listening to you and now you're talking to me. And I was like, what?
So sweet that you're kind of funny.
Yeah. That's so funny. I was like, what?
What about like, you know, when we post like a reel or something like that and then you see yourself pop up, do you get surprised?
Sometimes, but I know that we're kind of posting them,
Yeah, but it's a weird thing, like, and also you just don't know who's on the other side, like, listening,
Yeah, I'm also still always so, like, not shocked, but I'm like, wow, people listen to us.
I know, we say that a lot, and people are like, obviously, because you guys are a podcast, but it's still surreal, it's really surreal. I think, like, maybe one episode, but, like, people who've listened to more, like, a handful, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. As a listener, what, I mean, because obviously we're not trying to force you to listen, but what do you think brings you back to listen? Because you listen to a lot of other podcasts, so why would you choose this one over the other ones? Or like what are you doing when, I don't know, feeling?
You know, like just going on like a really small tangents with podcasts, I think I used to listen to kind of more like Radio Lab or kind of like This American Lifestyle, like podcasts that were more around like certain topics and things like that, where it's not really about your relationship or getting to know the hosts. It's more about getting to like learn something. But I think what I've realized now is I've moved away from those, and the ones that I'm listening to are the ones where I feel like I am getting to know the hosts. And I think I probably have like this one. There's another one called Bilingual News and another Japanese one called Rebuild. They're probably like the three main ones that I listen to the most. And the common thing is kind of, you know, the personalities that kind of come out. So I love listening, even though like I'm in touch with you like every day. Multiple times a day. I still kind of love hearing about your stories that you share, and also just in terms of, I don't know, like the way that you guys think and just different perspectives. I think I'm just like really interested in those sorts of aspects, and you guys talk about that a lot. So that's what brings me back.
That's interesting. Wow. Thank you for sharing. Let's save that. We'll make a reel out of that. It's like a testimonial of our listener.
Real life testimonial.
That's really nice. Yeah, because you just don't know, like when you're here and you're just talking about like your own stories or like whatever's on your mind, because this is like a real, like a space where Rox and I can really just chat about whatever. You sometimes forget, like sometimes we assume that what we think is what everyone thinks and it's like obvious. But when I actually think about, well, when I actually see that there's listeners on the other side of the world or even like in a different state, like Queensland, and maybe it's like, for example, like an Asian person in Queensland, maybe we are kind of interesting because we're like 30-something-year-old people who are like in Sydney. Maybe that's interesting. Like sometimes I forget that, you know, we're in a certain space, in a certain place at a certain time. And it's actually very unique, which is sort of nice, like to remember like, oh, you know.
Everyone's different.
Everyone's right? different. Yeah. Because in the beginning, when we were coming up with ideas and stuff for the podcast, we're like, people really, really listen to us.
Like, yeah, we're not what's like unique teaching about anything. Okay, so just rewind because I'm a bit lost. Because you just said that Aina went clubbing in La Crosse. So like, why are people clubbing? Then you also just said that you've got a full Japanese partner and you have a kid together. So I'm just like questioning, how did that happen? How did you meet? Like, did you meet clubbing or I don't know. How did you even
so you're assuming end up like with... if Aina went clubbing at the Cross, like you were more
like hanging dating out with like Aussies or
Caucasians.
Different...
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So yes, clubbing at the Cross. We didn't meet clubbing.
I love how this part of your life is getting highlighted in this episode.
It's a long time ago. In the black tutu. Can I just emphasize? I suppose, how did that happen? Okay, yes. So white people clubbing, I used to date white guys. So previous boyfriends have been Australian mostly. And I'm just going to say his name. Hiro is my husband's name. Hiro is the first Asian person that I ever dated. So that was kind of in our early 20s. And how did I go from like King's Cross to meeting him, because those two worlds definitely don't collide. It's probably because of like my connection with Japan and I suppose working in Japanese environments throughout uni and things like that. So I used to work in Japanese restaurants because I wanted to keep my Japanese. And kind of fast forward many, many years, I ended up working in a different restaurant where Hiro came to as like a kitchen hand. He had literally arrived. Yeah.
This is a love story that you wanted.
He had literally landed in Australia in April and we met.
What year?
2010.
Oh.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
It was a long time ago. And we met July. But on the topic of first impressions, I actually don't remember meeting him.
Oh, you don't remember anyone.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking maybe it's me.
Wait, I thought that he wore like a flannel shirt.
Okay, yeah, that's when I first
noticed him
properly. Yes, yes,
nah, he was flannel. Yeah, okay. Must have looked pretty good.
Yeah. I think that was closer to when we started dating, which was October. So I don't remember the time between, say, July and September, but that's kind of the very condensed version of the story. But yeah, I've always kind of been in touch with my Japanese side for reasons why I don't know, but it's been really important to me that I'm able to, I think I've been proud of like the way that I've been able to speak Japanese quite fluently. And I get even now still a lot of people say, wow, you're like native. And I think I've always been pretty proud of that and I didn't want to lose it. So I worked in Japanese restaurants that were paying way below minimum wage, but that was more important to me to be in that environment.
Speaking Japanese. Yeah. With them and with customers, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So many years of that led me to meeting him. So, yeah.
So do you speak Japanese at home?
I do.
With him?
Yeah. 100%.
That's your natural.
And the baby.
Yes.
Oh, so cute. Yeah.
And that's really important to me as like a mom as well. Yeah. So my mom was a stay-at-home mom until I was like 3 and I didn't go to preschool until that age. So I think I spoke 100% Japanese. But even then, my English is way stronger now. So I know that. Like, I've lived that journey, so it's important to me that my daughter speaks Japanese mainly at home and from now on as well. And I just trust the process of her picking up English just through living here. Yeah. And she's already in daycare, so she's got a head start over me.
She'll learn English, don't worry.
Yeah, we were just testing her today. I was like, what did I say? I was saying something to her in English and she turned around and you could tell she understood.
So cute.
Because we don't actually know what English or how much she actually knows.
Yeah. From daycare, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? She could be speaking fluent English at daycare. Like, hey, guys.
She might be.
Have the educators ever said anything?
They've said that she's speaking more and that she's
What language, though?
Oh, no, English. Oh, really? Yeah.
Or Ina said that she can say more, please.
Please. But we know what she's saying.
That's important.
Food. Saying,
yeah, she likes food.
She loves her food.
That's important.
She loves her food. But so she says more please, and I think she's starting to say thank you in English, which is pretty cute. She doesn't say it in Japanese yet.
After everything you've done.
That.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I wanted to mention, like, I don't know if this is accurate, but because this is something that has left an impression on me, is like, you told me that you were quite out of touch with your Japanese side. And then you had sort of like a moment in, I think during high school, when you just sort of had this huge desire and then you just started reading books and just started like listening to heaps of like J-pop and drama, watching dramas. Do you recall that? Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's actually accurate. So I don't know about you guys.
I had a switch moment like that too.
Oh my God, when?
Around my teens, like 15. Yeah, like I used to go to Hong Kong every year or two to visit family, but there was this one year, I think I was like 14 or something, and I was like, oh my gosh, like HK pop music, or I just got really into it.
Yes.
And I finally thought that, I just finally realized like I'm not just Australian.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, I'm actually Chinese.
Yeah, right.
How about you? Was it kind of like that? And then you're reading and listening to the music and stuff.
I wish my story was as like sensible as yours. No. Mine was definitely just about seeing a celebrity on TV that I thought was like really good looking, and I was just like, I want to know more about this guy. And then I started.
So that sparked your curiosity?
Yeah, that was kind of definitely a moment in my life where I thought or felt motivated to go and learn Japanese as a language to understand it more.
So who, which guy are you talking about? We can put a picture here.
So you know, actually they're getting a lot of bad media at the moment, but do you know Johnny's production? Yeah, they're going through this massive scandal that was actually taken in BBC. But anyway, it's this massive like production company or agency for where they have a lot of like boy bandy groups that form. And the guy that I was like really obsessed with was this guy called, his nickname is Yamapi.
Oh, Yamapi. Have you heard of Yamapi?
Yeah, okay. You've probably seen him before. Because
Yamapi is really famous.
Quite famous.
Oh, I have to look it up.
Mm. Rockler's about to just Google him right now. She's like, I need to see this guy that changes lives.
Basically. Inspiration.
Yeah. So that was, I don't know. I think.
You know, Hiro needs to thank Yamapi.
Yeah, it does.
If it wasn't for Yamapi, you would have never worked at Japanese restaurants for minimum wage, you know, and met him and seen him in that flannel.
Flannel, yeah. Maybe Yamapi did the flannel first.
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, the funny thing is, you know, Hiro, even in terms of like, you know, styles and like they're so different.
Oh,
so
like we fashion always style.
Like not even like face and like, oh, you know, like features. Mm. Like Yamapi is very white. He's like very kind of like, you know, has big eyes and like very typical like Japanese idol type of face. Yeah. And Hiro's not really like that. Mm. So we've got this ongoing joke about how I've ended up with him. Like, it's so different.
Aww. It'd be good if I could put a photo of Hiro here and Yamapi, so I'm probably
he would
can
not,
do a
he would not
comparison.
He would not consent to that.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. So you had that switch moment, which is pretty, like, I thought that was really cool because I was like, what? That's why you worked at these Japanese restaurants, like to learn
really
the language
too, yeah,
you know, that
and
is
get paid. You knew you could work somewhere else and get at least minimum wage or something. But yeah, that's
honestly, I would never do that, like work at a Korean restaurant to learn Korean.
Yeah,
I cannot.
But that's like dedication or like, yeah, I guess you really wanted to learn or keep the language, right?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to keep the language, and I think it kind of, it feeds each other, right? So your confidence builds, you feel more proud, and then you feel like, oh, I can't let this get worse again.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was even a period, I think, between maybe when I was 21 to 23, where I wasn't working at a Japanese restaurant and I was living with my friend who is Australian, and I found that the time that I was speaking Japanese had reduced so much, and I could feel like my vocabulary just shrinking by the day. And so I actually went back and started working at a Japanese restaurant as a second job, just so that I had that connection.
That's dedication.
It is
dedication.
Yeah.
And then, thank God you met Hiro, because then you can ditch the second job and just you can talk to him every day.
I think even like living with him or, you know, these past 13 years have done wonders for my Japanese as well. So
you're like, I'm only with you for the language.
No, I won't lose it now.
Something I'm really curious about is I wonder if you didn't marry Hiro, and I mean, if Hiro, yeah, you married Hiro, but Hiro spoke English. I'm curious, like, if you would have spoken Japanese, like, you know, to your daughter as well.
Can you say that again?
We won't know, though.
Do you know what I want?
Yeah, it's kind of like my situation, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of. It's like, say Hiro was a Japanese Aussie.
Yeah.
Like, he grew up here. He knows Japanese.
Okay, yeah.
But you could just, because he's Aussie, you'll probably just speak English. You could speak English with him or Japanese.
Yeah.
Because then I think you'd have to make a more conscious effort to speak Japanese.
Because I feel like that is a situation a lot of my Korean friends are in, where like they're with an Asian partner, but they speak English. Mm. Like that's their common language. So it's really random to actually start speaking your mother tongue, mother language to just your kid.
Yes.
Because that's not the natural language.
That's true. I think it would depend on the context in which we met and the language. I think for me, it's like whatever language that I start speaking to you with when I first meet you, that's, it is now weird to be speaking a different language.
So basically like...
Yes. The default is the default. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like...
you and Raido?
No, I was just going to say like... When I lived in Japan for 1 year, I became pretty fluent when I was there.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought when I came back, I could speak Japanese to like Ryota's family, like mom, Aina, Hiro. Like, oh, I could. I'm so like peta peta, like fluent. Like, I could totally like keep up my Japanese that way. And I actually remember like when I came back, I tried to like use a little bit of Japanese, but the default language is English. The default language is English, even between me and Hiro. Like, Hiro is more comfortable. Hiro is going to be like, why are you guys talking about me so much? But even with Hiro, I was like, okay, he's a good one. I could, you know, talk to him in Japanese, but it just defaults back to English. But actually, nowadays, he's kind of speaking more to me in Japanese. Yeah.
Because Nika's there. Oh, I just said her name. Nika's my daughter.
Yeah. Well, you can cut that bit out.
No, that's okay. I'm happy to share.
At the end of the episode.
But yes, that's because Nika's there. We're speaking
Japanese. You could have hold it in. No, we can cut that out. No.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, it's honestly fine. It's honestly fine. I was on the fence about it. I shared Hiro's name. You know my name.
Everyone's name. You can't hold back here. Yeah. You really can't.
No. It's too comfortable. It's honestly
it's too comfortable.
we're just hanging out.
So speaking of languages, I know that Linji from Worst Asian Podcast, he's Chinese and his wife's Chinese American. Like, they're both Chinese American and they have a son, but he consciously speaks to him in Mandarin at home to like train. So like, even though he's used to speaking English with his wife, like since dating when they were younger, they just made it like a thing.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive because I think he's doing it. He seems like he's amazing. Doing a good job.
Yeah.
Because he's a full-time home dad as well. Sorry for sharing a lot. But when he was talking about it, I was like, whoa.
It's fascinating.
That's good. Yeah. Like, that inspires me, hopefully, to do that.
Would you do that in Chinese?
I want to, but me and Sim don't really speak Cantonese at home. When we try, I'm like, come on, let's
try. Can you try
do
one of those challenges? Like,
let's try at least for an hour or the day. And I can speak more, but it ends up being me talking. And he's just like, and he says like a few things. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. And then we lose it. Then we speak English again.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah.
That's cool, though, that he tries. Mm. Yeah. I can see you trying to speak. You speak Cantonese? We talk about this, like me and Ryder. We're like, because Ryder, so I'm Korean, Ryder's half Korean, half Japanese, like Aina is. And we talk about all sort of hypotheticals. I'm like, what about the surname? Because like, we're not married, right? So I'm like, would you want to take on my surname? Like Ryder Kim, like as a joke. I know he would never do it, but it's so funny. And like, he already has like a hyphenated name, like Ryota Matsuoka, like Dashi. Okay, I'm really revealing everyone's information today.
Yeah, maybe delete that. Yeah.
Well, he's already got a really long name, so I can't even like
add put another in Dash.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Kim Dash, you know, Matsuoka. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's just too long. But yeah, with the language thing, it's like, I don't know what we would do because my Korean's not the best, but I would still, I think I am in a position where I can teach my child Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ryota, I think, could also, you know, teach the child Japanese. So it could be like, I've seen some instances where they speak like three languages at home, like Japanese, Korean, and English. So it could, but I think it'll be so confusing for the child and kind of like information overload as well. So I don't know. I don't know what, I think that's, you have the to
time,
be there.
Though, that's the time. They can, they can take it.
That's true. Yes.
It is.
And they'll have cousin Aina's daughter, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They can train together.
Train together. Japanese school. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. But it's, I think it's an interesting one because you kind of want to preserve your mother tongue but also want to make it easy for your child to, like, I don't know, do what's best for the child as well or whatever that might be. You just don't know.
And I think that's the challenge, isn't it, is, like, knowing, like, what they're going to thrive on and what they're going to want. Because I would have loved to grow up with Korean in the household as well, considering my dad's Korean. But he was the trilingual. He could speak Japanese. So that's why our house was just always 100% Japanese.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, my the level of understanding I have for Korean is embarrassing to the point that I don't even really say that I'm half Korean unless somebody's like a bit confused. They like look at me and they say, background are you?
Really?
I can't tell. Yes. Oh,
Interesting. Yeah, it's it gets really interesting during Christmas dinner because we have a lot of languages happening on the table.
Yes.
So like, because Ryder's dad speaks in Korean and Japanese. He speaks Japanese to everyone else, but I'm the only one that can speak Korean and that's his comfortable language too. So just me and him, we have a secret language, like Korean. And then everyone else speaks in Japanese, but then I don't speak in Japanese. Like, I'm too shy to, like,
but you can
speak.
Understand
I can understand quite a bit of it, and then I'll speak back in Korean to dad and then English to everyone else. So we've got English, Japanese, Korean, and it can get, it's pretty interesting.
It's interesting.
It's cool.
Your Japanese is really good, Jules, by the way. More. You should.
Speak more this Christmas.
Yeah, no, I've actually forgotten.
Make a rule for Christmas, like, Japanese only.
Yeah. Yeah, I've forgotten a lot, but it is cool to learn another language. And, yeah, I don't know if this is, if I'm bringing up a topic that we've already way, you know, gone over, but that switch that you guys were talking about, this was like 20 minutes ago. But I thought that was really interesting because, like, I never had that switch. I feel like I was always consistently, like, always watching Korean dramas, TV. Like, we used to get, like, tapes, videotapes, and that was, like, my favorite activity to do.
Oh, like, we'd get tapes too.
Tapes.
Like, I'd watch it with my mom.
You know, on the weekend?
Even weeknights. Of the series and stuff.
And that was, like, we'd always get about 5 to 6 tapes in a week. And they used to be like $2 to hire. And something I was so proud of was, like, at the video shop just down the road here, you get like numbers, like membership numbers. And we were number 2 out of like hundreds. So I always be like, number 2. And then go and borrow like this many tapes and watch all the dramas.
It's like you own the place. Like you're your the second boss. Customer.
Like, number 2. I still remember, this is like when I'm like 10 years old, right? Yeah. I still remember.
I love that you felt proud about that.
Yeah, I was so proud because it's such a low number. It's like having a really like unique Instagram handle or something. Yeah. Anyway, I feel like I was always had my finger on the pulse on like Korean stuff, but I never had a switch. But then now the only switch for me, I think, is like I would watch these things like more like a closet watcher kind of thing, but it was only in high school when I found people that I can talk about it with, and then we will all be like, what you watch that too? It's like, yeah, I watch that too. And then we would like bond. And so it was really nice meeting my Korean friends in year 7 because we all these things that we used to sort of watch but never got to talk about with our other friends, like we could suddenly bond and we felt like instantly connected.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's something. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the only difference. Like, I was just never talked about it, but I feel like I was always, like, watching. And now it's just crazy, like, K-pop and, like, K-drama, like, where it is now. It's, like, next level now. It's, like, I can talk about it with anyone now.
Yeah.
Even at the workplace, you know?
Yeah. I just wanted to wrap this part up quickly, but, like, the last thing I wanted to say was that, I don't know, there's, like, definitely a closeness – with someone, I feel straight away, I think we've probably talked about it before, when you said like you have your secret language, it's like you and your husband, or like when you and someone can speak another language aside from English, you're like, oh, it just has this feeling. But I don't think people in Japan or people in Hong Kong, I don't think they have that feeling because that's their normal language. That's true. For me, it's more important because I'm in Australia and the normal default language is English. But when you can speak that, second language, you're like, oh, it just feels really like homey and nice. And
my dog Peppa, like, she's very anxious.
Yeah.
But when she hears Korean, like when she's around like Korean people or hears a language, because she's lived with like the Korean TV and stuff in the background, when she hears Korean, she turns around.
Does she?
Yeah, she knows.
Yeah. Oh,
how weird is that?
So cute.
So it's not just humans.
She's surrounded by
it. Even like animals, like they know when they hear like a familiar language. They're like, is that my, you know, grandma? You know, she'll look. Yeah. Let's get nourished. Okay, so today we have a Japanese soup. I was practicing yesterday how to pronounce it because I find it a little bit tricky to actually say. But it's called tonjiru.
Perfect.
Is it perfect? Yeah, okay, I practiced it.
Yeah.
Ryder was like full breaking it down, like tonjiru, tonjiru. Like he was like full doing like waves, and I was like, oh, it's so hard. But I got there in the end. So this recipe is actually Ina's recipe. Do you want to... Okay, so it's Ina's recipe, but I made it. So I think it tastes good, but I don't think it's... I think it's missing a bit of miso, but I would love for you to test it. But can you share a little bit about what this soup is and sort of why you always cook it? Like, you're always having this soup.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. So... tonjiru, ton is the character for that is pork, like pig. So it's a miso that's got thinly sliced pork belly and a few different root vegetables. So it's got daikon, carrot, and usually if you have it in Japan, it has burdock fruit. But we don't get fresh burdock root here, so obviously this one doesn't have it, and it also has konnyaku.
I just realized I forgot to put the konnyaku
in.
I bought it but I forgot, but it's okay.
That's okay.
What's konnyaku?
Konnyaku is, it's like a
is it that noodle
duck. No. Yes. Oh, but it's the same thing. I'm pretty sure it's like a starch of some sort.
I thought it's made out of a plant.
Potato.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I potato? Think it's kind of like, you know, potato starch. I think it's a derivative of potato.
Are you making
potato.
This up?
No, is it real? Actually, okay. Yeah. It's definitely from potato.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's actually made, but I'm pretty sure it's like, but it's like this grey block, which is like, I wouldn't even say it's gelatinous. It's bouncy. It's like got...
It's like a chewy jelly.
It is, like a really hard jelly. But usually, it's like a miso that has those elements in it, and you swell a little bit of sesame oil.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot about the sesame oil. Okay. I was in a rush.
Thanks for making it.
Yeah, thanks so much for making good. It.
I know Rox, you would love it because Rox loves daikon.
It's
radish.
Yeah, radish Rocks is really so
yeah good. I didn't notice that I loved it, but Julia noticed that I loved it because every you time always... there's radish, I'm like, oh yeah, and radish. Yeah,
you
like,
always
you
mention
love
it.
Radish.
Yeah, like, you're always like, oh my god,
right,
radish.
I do love radish.
You really love radish.
Especially in soups.
Yeah, you'll love this one.
Yeah, no, this is good. And I make it a lot, probably because it's like, I think it's like Hiro's favorite.
Oh, is
soup.
It?
Like, and in Japan, not that like I'm like cook traditional Japanese or anything like that, but they've got this like system where you have like rice, a soup, and like three dishes kind of thing.
Oh.
Like they say ichijiru sansai. Sansai means like three vegetables or like three dishes, and shiru is soup. So I think in a lot of like traditional like households in Japan, you would have rice, a soup, and a lot of the time I think that's miso soup. And then they have their dishes. But yeah, I think that's why we cook it a lot. And it's a miso that tastes good.
Nice.
You see how it's like richer because of the pork belly? So it's like definitely, I think some people think, oh, isn't it just going to just taste the same as a miso because, and you just got different things in it. But it's not, because you just get all the extra flavor from the pork and
it's fatty. Exactly.
Yeah, it is fatty. And usually you'd put more sesame oil in there too. So.
I think this is quite similar to the soup that Rox, you made, but your version's sweeter. You know which soup I'm talking about? Your pre-meal soup?
Yeah, yeah. That, I think it's similar. Like, I think carrot always makes these kind of clear broths sweeter as well, which is like a similarity, but also, yeah, it's really good. Yum.
You like the radish?
It is. Yes, yes. I love the radish.
Is it meant to be this clear, or should it be a bit more? It would
probably be a bit more miso-y.
Like, would it look like a miso soup?
It would look like.
But yeah, it's so easy. You just like fry the thinly sliced pork, and then I added the chopped radish and carrot, and then while I'm cooking that in the pan, like I boiled water in the kettle, and then once like the meat's kind of cooked, I added the water, and then you just add the seasoning stuff like the dashi and miso. I think that's it. I think it's, I thought it was interesting, like in Japanese cooking you add a lot of dashi powder.
The dashi powder that you get
that
is used in miso soup is generally speaking it's got MSG in it. But that's why I said to you, I'll bring the special dashi because that's in Japan, there's like this slow move away from, I think, additives and things like that, similar to Australia as well.
Yeah.
But they have got dashi packs. So it looks like a tea bag and they've got all the dashi ingredients inside. I think Korean, like you use them in Korean cooking too. Yeah. And then you just like boil it like a tea bag and then it extracts. And that's just actually from the ingredients rather than it being, you know, a processed ingredient.
I make my own little tea bags and put stuff in there.
Yes, I do. I've seen you do that before. Not all the ingredients are accessible here. I think in its like original form, because they use things like katsu, like which is the bonito I'm not even sure if it's actually flakes or stuff that they use in those packs that they pre-sell.
Yeah.
And it's like kombu, which is like kelp.
Oh, yeah.
And bits and pieces. I think bringing it together, it would be quite hard.
Yeah. It was great having you on the podcast, Aina.
It was so fun.
Having like a, you know, one of our
long-time listeners
and supporter.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. It's been so fun.
Yeah. Can't wait to have you come on next time because I feel like there's still so much that you can share.
Topics, yeah.
Yeah, like sleep training, more about your work because we always talk about work and even just what else, like what other topics do we – yeah, your experience as like growing up Japanese in Australia as well. Like there were all these topics we wanted to talk about. Let us know in the comments if you want for us to make an episode on any of those. But otherwise – yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rox and Aina.
Thanks, Aina.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you guys in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.